Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the twos and the threes. Amen. You have to bear with my voice a little bit, but as we've learned this week, our spirit is the strongest part. Amen. So my voice is a little weak today, but thankfully the brothers can amplify that, and I'll work on amplifying my spirit. Amen. All right, so we come to the morning session two. I'm practicing the twos and threes. Practicing the twos and threes. So maybe we'll just go in a quick way through the five messages, or the four previous ones before beginning. The first one, so we have a word for each one of these. So the first one was the principle. We saw the principle in the Bible is that the Lord does things by twos and by threes, right? So this is a particular number, a principle. All right, and then in number two, we're beginning to practice. So first you pick up the principle, then you begin to practice, right? Amen. So who here enjoyed practicing this week, the twos and the threes?
Amen.
Amen. Amen or amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, number three, prayer, right? The twos and the threes, they pray. So principle, practice, prayer. It's all P's. All right, message four, then they preach. They preach the gospel in the twos and the threes. And eventually we come to this one. It's called Shepherding and Perfecting in twos and threes. We have two P words, parent and pattern. All right, parent and pattern. So just to let you all know, we hope that there would be some time at the end. You know, there's been testimonies this week. Who's enjoyed the testimonies during these speakings?
Amen.
Yeah, the testimonies are wonderful. So we have some testimonies today, but hopefully there'll be some more time at the end for those who have had some experiences in the twos and the threes who didn't get a chance to share. Or even maybe some had some experiences or some breakthroughs this week in the twos and the threes, and these could be a help to all of us. So we hope to reserve some time for that at the end. So going back to our two P's on this one, parenting and being a pattern, in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, 2:7 and 8, this is the Apostle Paul. But we were gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children. Yearning in this way over you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became beloved to us. So actually, when the Apostle Paul speaks of shepherding and perfecting, what was in his mind was parenting. He says, I am just your nursing mother. All right, and then another verse, this is not on your outline, in 1 Corinthians. These are really awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 4:15 through maybe 17. For though you have 10,000 guides in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. So this is the apostles' concept. What do you need? It's good to have some guides, right? We need some guides. Actually, I feel like this training, we've been under the guiding of the speaking, right? Meeting by meeting, there's some guiding. But most of the ones speaking, you can't say, oh, they're my father, right? You know, there's a particular shepherding. There's a particular help that comes from the fathers and the mothers. You know, there's a saying, it takes a village to raise a child, which is true. You need the input from all those in your social group. For the watching after children. I have two children, and we need all the help we can get. But at the end of the day, there's the mother and the father, right? So we're happy. You know, actually, the college students come over to my house. They call me up, and they ask if I'll be home. And then they ask if my kids will be home. So they're really there to see my kids, which I'm good. They're their guides, right? But I'm the father. So I care in a particular way for my children. So this is the Apostle Paul. In Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. And then this part is the pattern. The next verse, I exhort you, therefore, become imitators of me. So to be a parent is to be a pattern. And then I like this. Because of this, I have sent Timothy to you, the apostle. No, Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. So the apostles' concept has nothing to do with a classroom. Right here we're talking about shepherding and perfecting. I don't know what we hear when we hear shepherding and perfecting. I'm not perfect. I need some, you know, don't ask me to perfect nobody. Well, you know, the sisters, at some point, they become mothers. And you learn by doing, right? You learn really quickly by doing. And you realize that the best, you've heard the saying, how's it go? Do what I say, not what I do, right? You don't want that kind of a parent. That is bad parenting, right? Because the children, they're just watching, right? Everything you say and do, they're watching, right? So our living is really the pattern. Our parenting is by being a pattern. So we hope we would pick this up. When we hear these words, shepherding and perfecting, we just hear pattern. Just be a pattern, right? In 1 Timothy 4:12, many are familiar with this verse. Let no one despise your youth, but what? Be a pattern. Let no one despise your youth. Be a pattern, right? So the apostles' concept, parenting, patterns, all right? So with that, maybe we can come to the outline. How about everyone together, number one? Amen. Brothers A. Amen. Yeah, so shepherding, I don't know, maybe this sounds scary, taking care of all the needs, all-inclusive tender care, right? You go, oh, shepherding, this is a lot of work. All right, how about the sisters, B? Mm-hmm. Amen. Brothers, one, is to make them happy. Amen. Amen. Sisters, too. Amen. So there's a number of points here. All-inclusive tender care, right? Taking care of all the needs, making them happy, feeding them. Sounds like a lot of work. Say, this is not, I'm not cut out for this, right? Okay, so we need to come to our burden here on point C. How about we read point C together? Love, interest, burden, and prayer are the essential basic elements of proper shepherding. So saints, this morning we'd really like to emphasize this point. You know, shepherding may involve a number of these things. Feeding, making them happy, all right, all inclusive, every need. Well, what do you need? You need love, right? You need the love of our Father God. Matthew 5, 44 through 45 on here are some of my favorite verses. These are so precious. This is our Father, okay, saints? So no shepherding if we don't have our Father. So, okay, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may become sons of your Father who is in the heavens, because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So this is our wonderful Father, right? This is our Father's heart. Our Father has a heart of love. And if we don't touch this heart of love, there is no way to shepherd. You know, you can pick up all these points. You know, this is Brother Matthew. I need to take care of Brother Matthew. He's the new one. I begot him in the gospel. And he has all these problems. And he calls me at midnight. You know, I don't think the Lord is real. I don't know if I'm really saved. I'm sleeping, right? Well, you know, when you have kids, they don't care when you're sleeping, right? But you love them, right? That was the apostle. He says, I begot you as a father, right? If a father has no love, that's not a bad situation. So we really need to go. Thank you, Brother Matthew. We need to go to the Lord and just open up. Lord, give me your heart. Amen. Give me your interest. Amen. Give me your burden. Amen. Right? Otherwise, I'm through with the shepherding, right? And even, you know, we have young kids, and so we go through this a lot. Sometimes my wife just says, I'm through. I'm done, right? And then she remembers, I love these ones. Oh, I love these ones. So in our shepherding, we need to keep coming back to the Lord. Lord, you love these ones. Even give me the love that you have, right? You could change that verse. He sends his rain on the naughty and the good, right? We all want the good ones, right? But anyways, we were all naughty. Maybe not outwardly, but we're all the naughty ones. And so we need to have this heart. And then number point D says, the best way to shepherd people is to give them a proper pattern. So we have two testimonies around these two points. Maybe first Christy could come up, and then after that, Bethany and the sisters from Davis.
Hi, I'm Christy. I'm going into my third year at UC Berkeley. Yeah, praise the Lord that he has the genuine love. I just wanted to share about a companionship, a dear companionship that I've had with a sister who's around my grandma's age, but really I consider her my second mom based on the way that she's shepherded me and perfected me. I met her when I was a new believer. My parents were meeting with the church in Elk Grove, and I was there also, and she met there also. So I met her there, and once I was saved, she got on the phone with me once a week. We'd go out to coffee once in a while. So, yeah, that was really sweet. And when I would tell her about my issues, the example that I have here is I would tell her about my issues with my mom, and I would even have a little bit of frustration, you know, kind of just talking as whatever the preteen or teen that I was. She could have reacted based on the fact that she was a mother herself and the fact that she personally knew my mother. So anyways, but what ended up happening and what, you know, continued to happen throughout our relationship when things like this came up was that she was very slow to speak. She was not corrective or instructive, actually, though she had experience and a certain perspective. But then I remember another day, it was maybe a different week, and she would just express her appreciation of my mom and even comment on how busy my mom must be. So anyways, I just really felt like that was the Lord coming through her, not so quick to, you know, just say based on, or like, correct me, you know, I don't know. But anyways, yeah. So I was really impressed with the leading that she took from the Lord. Actually, she told me as I got older and more mature to understand what she said, that she prayed for me every time before she met with me, that nothing would come from herself, but everything from the Lord, because she knew that if it came from herself, then it wouldn't be profitable to the Lord. And she said that she asked the Lord that everything that she would say and express would be him, and that she would stay in union with him. So her shepherding and perfecting of me really translated over to my interactions with this other sister that I met during my freshman year at UC Berkeley through the Christians on Campus Club there. She was younger in the Lord than me, and we had a conversation one time. We were at a cafe, and she was telling me about her parents, actually, also, and a problem that was happening between them. And initially, I wanted to give her advice, but then at that moment when there was a kind of a pause for me to respond, instead I asked the Lord inside, and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, I don't want to speak advice. I don't want to speak anything apart from you. And so in that moment, I ended up not saying anything, but by the end of our time, I ended up showing her a few of these songs from the CD called Comfort Abounds that had really helped me in the past, and she really found a lot of help through those songs. Yeah, so through Lori, her name's Lori Harmon, through Lori's shepherding and perfecting of me, the Lord really was able to pour out so many blessings, even when I had this relationship with the sister later on.
Amen. Amen. Maybe the Bethany and the sister could come up, but I'd just like to highlight, really, even this is good, we need companions our own age, but we all need the moms and the dads in the church life, right? Maybe we think they don't understand, they're not tech savvy, they're not this, but really, I mean, anyways, when you're young, you just think you know things, right? And then you grow up a little bit and you realize you don't know much. And these ones, not that they think they know, but they know to pray before they contact you, right? And they know to impart something into you. I really appreciate this, the sister Lori who took care of Christy. She had a love for her, an interest for her, a burden for her, and a prayer, right? And this became a proper pattern so that when she goes to college, she's not there as a freshman dispensing lots of advice, which is very easy to do. I think as a freshman, I dispensed a lot of advice and not much Christ. So it's good. It's good. Get some of the mamas and the papas in the church life. They'll be happy to take care of you. Amen. Now we can hear from these sisters. You can introduce yourselves and share with us.
Hi, I'm Bethany.
I'm Brianna.
And I'm Julie. And we are all going into our third year at UC Davis. And we're here to talk about our companionship during our second year in college.
So Julie and I met freshman year, and we were roommates in our dorms. And last year for sophomore year, we moved together into a house with our friends, and we met Bree, and we became really good friends. We did everything together and nothing together. We ate together, studied together, and through just building our human relationship, we were able to care for each other, and this led us to be more burdened for her to enter into the church life and to know God more.
So Bethany and I had weekly Bible reading times, and through our reading, we became burdened for our friends. And every week, we would have a prayer list for those that we cared about, our family members, our friends, or even those already in the church life. And Bree was on that list. So every week, we would consistently pray for Bree because we cared for her, and the love of Christ was just among us. And through our building up of one another, Bree was attracted to the love of the saints. And although we didn't expect anything from our prayers, the Lord was able to answer our prayers through our consistency and love for each other.
Hello. So I grew up in the Catholic church life, and although I did worship the Lord, I never really knew him. Like, growing up in the Catholic life, you don't really know that you're able to reach the Lord and that you're able to contact him. So in living with the sisters, they invited me to a home meeting, and like at first I was like, I don't want to really go, and then they were like, oh, there's food, and I was like, okay, I'll be there. And you know, as soon as I like walked in there, like that atmosphere was just so caring and loving, and everyone like took care of me. And you know, the first thing we did was we started singing, and I was like, wow, what is this? Like, it's so enjoyable, and like there is definitely something flowing there that I'd never experienced before.
Amen. I remember when we first invited her to the home meeting, and it was during finals week, probably during December, and it was Friday night, and it was 7 p.m., so Julie and I were going to go to the home meeting, and we just decided to invite Bree and Brianna, and at first, I was nervous, even though we prayed for her a lot already. But I guess just being in ourselves, we have no faith. But praise the Lord. The Lord really showed us that prayer really works. And when we invited her, she accepted the offer and came home. And in addition to praying with Julie, my companion, I also brought up Brianna to our student coordination, and we were able to pray as a body for more experience of Christ and also for matters such as whether the Lord would want Bree to go to like the college conference or the college training. And I really appreciated that our burden became not only between the two of us, but also became a matter of the bodies.
When they invited me to the conference, I was still very like reluctant to go because it was still also new to me. And I remember Bethany asking me, and I was like, I'll think about it, but I'm not sure. But like eventually, like I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go and like see what this is about. And so I went, and I remember one of the first messages was that we're all God bottles. And I learned that like the Lord isn't unreachable. Like, he's here with us. He's so close to us. Like, we're supposed to contain him. Like, you can contact him. He's so near to you. Like, you don't realize. I didn't realize that he wasn't like so far away from me. And then, so from there on, like, I really started to enjoy the Lord. Like, he became so real to me, and from there on, like, they started bringing me to their Bible studies, and I started being a part of their fellowship and their coordination. And at first I would go because they would go, but eventually it was because I was forming a personal relationship with the Lord.
I also really enjoyed that we were a mutual encouragement to each other. Sometimes myself, I feel like I don't want to go to the meetings, but then Bree is here encouraging me, and it's so fresh to just see her like new love and curiosity for the Lord. And I also really enjoyed that we were there for each other and supplied each other through the Word. I remember one time I was really sad about something, and instead of using like advice that a friend would give to another friend, they supplied me with the Word and started singing to me. And I'm just really appreciative and happy that today we're able to enjoy the Lord together.
Amen.
Man, this is the Lord's divine arrangement and God's sovereignty for placing us together.
Amen.
It was really through His arranging that I was able to find the Lord. But not only was I able to find Him, but He blessed me with the companions to pursue Him.
Thank you, sisters. Amen. Wasn't that good? One of the things Bree said I liked, she says, at first I just went because they went. It's the pattern, right? So it's good. Anything we do in the church life, the best is just to bring people along. Just be a pattern, right? Eventually they became a pattern of those getting into the Bible together. They became a pattern of those praying for their friends together. And it just allowed Bree just to enter in, right? In a gradual, consistent way, just to be part of that, right? So I just appreciate this. This is the best way, is to give people a pattern, right? Amen. So that means we need to be in these things, right? I also appreciate what the sister said. You know, the first word we gave was principle. In the Bible, there's the principle of the twos and the threes, but we're still here in the body, right? So there was something they had in their twos and threes, but they were able to bring it to the other members in the body. And even as you see, they brought Bree into that. So Bree didn't just get brought into a companionship, but she got brought into a church life, right? So we have to realize all of our twos and threes, ultimately, they're for the church life. All right. Amen. So maybe we can say those four essential things. I think we just want you to get these. We need what? Love. Interest, burden, and prayer. Amen. And then we need to give them a what? A proper pattern. Amen. All right. So point E, it says in the twos and threes, we should fellowship about the situation with our contacts so we can study their cases, fellowship about them, and receive mutual help for shepherding. I think some of the other testimonies cover this. It says never try to do a quick work. Always do a thorough work. Appreciated some. I prayed for 9 months, right? All right, we prayed for this long, right? Or we lived with Bree until she didn't show up to anything until December, right? Maybe we start praying, Lord, we want some ones to bring, right? And does it really have to be until December? Anyways, patience. We need to exercise patience. Amen. So, but really, we need a love and we need a pattern. All right, so maybe we can read point number two and Brother John could take us from here. Amen. All together, we was... Amen.
Amen. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together.
We must ordain and choose the great under our care.
Amen. So we must coordinate in twos and threes to perfect those who are under our care. I'd like to spend some time on point A. Let's read point A together. Perfect means to make something useful. So what does perfecting mean? It simply means to make someone useful. I think a lot of us have a concept of what the word perfect means. Usually when we come and think of the word perfect, we think of the noun. The noun perfect is, of course, 100% complete. You know, no defect, no fault. But here, it's not using the noun version of perfect. Is using the verb version of perfect. To use perfect as a verb means you make someone useful. And I appreciated Brother Robert sharing in an earlier message, you know, who has, Zechariah 4:10, who has despised the day of small things? even to make someone useful in this very, very small, seemingly minuscule thing, is perfecting them. And I want to go on. The Greek word for perfecting in Ephesians 4:16 means equipping, supplying the functions. So here I want to give a little practical illustration. First, I need a companion. Matthew Koo, my companion. And I was really appreciating the Brother Tony shared last night. The perfecting happens in the small group meetings. So we need to have a small group meeting, brother.
Amen.
What's in a small group meeting?
Small group meeting, there are people.
People, that's good. Choose some people, like three.
Peter and Andres and Isaac.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're starting to have a group now. All right, what else is in a group meeting? We got people now.
Oh, shoot.
Do we have food?
Oh, food? We need food.
Okay, what's your name? Isaac, are you good at cooking?
Yeah.
All right, we got food. We have someone who's good at cooking. Do you see there's a coordination between Matthew and I? Okay, Isaac, what else is in a small group meeting? At least in one that you're in.
Singing,
okay. Peter, can you play guitar?
I can, yeah.
We got music, we have singing.
Amen.
Amen. What's your name, brother? Andres. Andres. What else is in a small group meeting that you are in?
There's couches.
Couches? It's true. You got to have a home. We need to find a home. Who has a home? Manor has a home. Oh, we got a home. Manor, come up.
Come over, brothers.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have a home.
Amen.
We have food.
Amen.
We have guitars for singing.
Amen.
We also need the word of God. We need Christ. We need Christ to minister to us.
Amen.
Mano, who do you see is good at the Word of God? Or who knows the Word of God? Can you help us enjoy Christ?
Joshua does.
Oh, Joshua.
Yeah.
Come here.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Matt, I think we have a small group now.
I think so too.
And we have saints who can all have a function in this small group.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Amen.
So, really, perfecting is to just supply functions. You know, it's not very hard to have a small group meeting. First, you just need a companion. And then through the coordination with your companion and the ones in your group, quickly you can supply functions to people. You can supply them to bring food, to cook food, supply them to bring their guitar to play. And then if we ourselves are not as experienced in the Word of God, we can always find someone through coordination who can help bring out the Word. I just wanted to share a little bit of my own experience. I was also in a small group, and at first it was just a family and I, and maybe one or two students. And then, we had a burden to perfect the ones under our care. So eventually, a freshman sister came along, and she's here today. I asked her, before you came to San Diego, did you know how to cook anything? And her response to me was, rice and ice. Well, through many years of just, you know, actually perfecting, as a matter of perfecting, I looked up a definition today, and the definition is to faithfully reproducing the original. So in our small group, the sister in our small group, she faithfully reproduced herself in this younger sister. So I remember she was teaching her how to peel potatoes. And she even gave her incentive. Well, if you peel enough potatoes, I'll give you this thing called a virtual potato badge. And then she peeled enough potatoes eventually, so she got it. And another sister realized, oh, she has a potato badge. I want one too. So now she has one also. And now there's another sister, you know, that's part of our small group who I've heard is in the process of earning her potato badge. But I just wanted to hit that. We perfecting is not hard. We just need a supply function, give someone something to do. And also, we ourselves, we need to be willing to be perfected so that we can be useful to the Lord. You know, don't despise all the small things. That makes you useful to the Lord. And then another matter of perfecting. Who here prophesied yesterday morning? With a companion. Yeah, you all did. There was a prophesying time where everyone here prophesied. And it happened in what? A two or a three. So also every saint, point three, Through the manifested function of every saint, the church is built up. The building of the church is the responsibility of who? All the saints. All the saints. So I really appreciated yesterday, everyone had a chance for their function to be manifested. We all have the speaking capacity. You know, maybe we cannot speak like Brother Tony from last night, but we all have the capacity to speak something for the Lord. And even the smallest thing can build up the church. Amen. Point B. The goal of the perfecting of the students is that the students will participate in the work of the ministry, which is to build up the body of Christ. So that's what you all did yesterday. You all participated to build up the body of Christ. All right, point C. We must learn the truth and know what is the faith, who is the Son of God, and how to grow in life. When we have learned these lessons and have been taught this way, we will be able to teach others in the same way. So I want to call a group of sisters from UCI. We don't have that much time, so maybe you can just come up here and recite the items of the faith that you learned in your summer internship.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Rodriguez. I'll be starting my second year at UCI.
I'm Sylvia, and I'll be starting my fourth year.
And I'm Henna.
I'm my third year at UCI.
Okay, so just wants to recite.
Yeah, you just recite.
Yeah, what did you all do?
Oh, okay. So earlier this summer, we went to an internship for the students at UCI to just learn the common faith and learn how we can shepherd just new members of the church and what we can show them. We memorized the common faith, and it was really helpful because prior to that, or at least coming into college, I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. Like, pretty much all I could tell you, I didn't even know we had a spirit, but pretty much all I could tell you was there's a story where a man gets eaten by a fish. That's all I could tell you. Specifically why when I started gospel preaching that it was just a terrifying experience for me, because I really didn't have anything to tell them other than the third part, which is the Spirit. Thank the Lord I found that out. So I didn't know the common faith during that time. And one experience I had, it was late at night. I was going to get some dinner, just finished studying. And two women approached me, and they were wanting to talk about a specific topic regarding their faith or their beliefs. I'm not going to really get into what it was, but they were telling me all of these things. They were trying to show me in the Bible where it says it, and it just didn't make much sense to me, and it didn't really, you know, I felt something wrong there, but I couldn't really, you know, rebuttal that. I couldn't tell them or defend myself on what the actual faith was because I didn't have it, you know, I didn't have it equipped with me. So I just had to sit there like a puppy dog and just, you know, agree with everything they were saying. I didn't have any mama or papa to look to be like, is this right? I didn't know. So, So this internship was really helpful because it actually taught us. We wanted to learn the common faith. We memorized the common faith and we took a test on it, and yeah, now I have it equipped with me forever.
Okay, wait. Growing up in the church life, I know what we believe in, right? But kind of in like a vague sort of way. So I really appreciated just coming to like actually memorize these points and then memorizing the references. So if someone like actually asked me, I can just point it out. So like, yeah, instead of being like, oh, let me go find a full-timer, it's more like, oh, yeah, I can show you all these points. Okay. And then so the, items of the common faith. The first one is that the Bible is God's divine revelation, Amen. Inspired word by word through the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can see this in 2 Peter 1:21 and also in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. The second point is that God is uniquely one, yet triune, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And this is in Matthew 28:19 and 1 Timothy 3:16.
Amen.
And the next item is Jesus. Okay, so the Son of God, even God himself, was incarnated to be a man by the name of Jesus Christ. We see this in John 1:1 and John 1:14. And then we know that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, shedding his blood for our redemption. And then we see that in 1 Peter 2:24 and Ephesians 1:7. Then we have, on the third day, Jesus Christ resurrected from among the dead. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15:4. The next item would be that Christ ascended to the right hand of God to be Lord of all. And we see that in Acts 1:9, Acts 2:33, Acts 2:36.
Point seven, whenever any person repents to God and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they become regenerated, born again, and be a living member of the body of Christ. And that can be seen in Acts 20:21, John 3:3, Ephesians 1:22-23, and Romans 12:5. And the last one, probably the most important of all of them, Christ is coming back to receive his believers to himself. And that can be seen in 1 Thessalonians 2:19.
Amen. So, yeah, perfecting works. Amen. Now those sisters are so useful. They can contact anyone on their campus and have something to speak about, which is simply the items of the faith. Amen. Let's go on to D. As we practice carrying out the Lord's move on the campuses in twos or threes, we will learn and get ourselves perfected. Then we will become a pattern, and our pattern will be a perfecting to others. So we want to have a group of UCLA brothers share on this experience of theirs. And UCR brothers, just get ready.
Okay. We're back, and we have another one with us. Hallelujah. So we just want to share on this matter of perfecting, just more through our own experience of me and Jeffrey shepherding our brother Gustavo. So really what we did to perfect this one, we didn't really try to do anything. We didn't, have a list of all the things we had to do. The biggest thing we did was we just enjoyed the Lord with him. Especially at UCLA, we have a big house. We have lots of other students on campus that made it easy just to get together, read the Word, invite him over for meals, just fellowship with him, sing with him, which ultimately is all just enjoying the Lord. So,
amen. Yeah, so we told the story before. I met Gustavo in my orientation last year. And then throughout the summer, we had a Bible reading challenge. But after the school year continued, so the Bible reading challenge was on John. After the school year continued, we just had weekly appointments together, the three of us and a full-timer. We continued to read John together. And throughout the year, we can really testify that Gustavo has gained an increased appetite in the Word. He really enjoys reading the Word. And yeah, throughout these times, we just had really good fellowship times. It wasn't any of our trying, but it was just really normal to enjoy the Lord with him. And Gustavo really appreciates the fellowship too. He would always ask me and Sam if he can swipe us into the dorms, to the dining hall, to have a meal together and to just fellowship together. And those times are really wonderful. So yeah, right now Gustavo really enjoys singing with us. Every once in a while, I would get a text from him, "Hey, is it cool if I come to the brother's house and sing together?" And yeah, Sam would be playing the guitar, I would be playing a ukulele, and then Gustavo now plays the guitar too. So just it's very normal to enjoy the Lord with one another.
Oh yeah. Okay, everyone, so I'm Gustavo, and I, as Jeff said,
I met him in orientation, and prior to my orientation, I actually didn't grow up in the church life. So when I was coming to orientation, I was just walking down Burn Walk, which is where a lot of clubs flyer. And, you know, going to orientation, I really didn't have a mindset of wanting to join a Christian club. But I met Christian students when they were flyering, and after I went to like a kind of like a gathering by the bear, the mascot right there. And that's where I met Jeff and another full-timer, Mike Shu, which is back there. And so I got connected to them, and, you know, this was orientation, so I didn't get to see them till when school started around fall quarter. And I remember Mike and Jeff were supposed to come and see me in my dorm, but Mike wasn't able to make it, so that's where I met Sam. Jeff and Sam came over, and we just started setting up weekly appointments to read through John. And I remember, you know, I enjoyed going to meeting up with them, but it was during fall quarter that I really didn't know what we were reading. All I knew was that I enjoyed it. You know, I just remember some of the stories, like Samaritan woman, Jesus turning water into wine. But I really didn't know, like, what we were reading, just that I enjoyed meeting up with them. And I remember they later invited me to a, like, winter break trip. We went to Sacramento and to just stay and visit, like, the locality there, just fellowship with others. And I remember it was during this time that I stayed in the same hospitality as Sam, and I just, you know, like, as I had been seeing, like, everyone was so happy, everyone was so exercised in their spirit, I realized that in myself, I needed more. I didn't really know what I was doing. So I remember I opened up to Sam and told him some of these feelings, and he just told me about his experience. And I remember that night, I prayed for the first time, just saying, you know, God, I really just want to feel something from you. I want a sign. Let me know you're real. Just let me have a longing for you.
Amen.
And after that, we went on our, like, break from school for 3 weeks. And it was during this time that, for some reason, I actually missed the singing times. You know, I never thought that would happen. And I was just there at home, you know, I was just kind of like, I miss singing. That's so weird. So when school came back, when school started again, I started going out more to small group, just meeting others. It was still a gradual process, and it wasn't until spring quarter that I actually went out to, like, way more meetings than I had the previous quarters. I remember I talked to a brother, and I was just saying, you know, I want to try getting, like, setting up appointments with another brother so I can just get connected to other serving ones, and he told me I should talk to Ben Sargent. So I had appointments with Ben Sargent. I don't know where he's at, but and we were reading through Ephesians. So we actually got through Ephesians prior to coming here. And yeah, I remember it was just during this time that I really was opening a lot more and just really enjoying singing times. As we said, we would eat a lot. We would just go to dining halls or sing at the brother's house. I remember I'd go and study sometimes, but what I enjoyed was that we could take a break just to sing and enjoy the Lord. And it was around this time that I made my decision to get baptized.
Amen.
And I remember that this happened at a college conference around spring quarter. I remember I was really nervous prior to that, but I got to fellowship with several brothers and sisters who told me it was fine that, you know, it was just like getting dunked into the water, you know, just coming out. Like, it was just like a declaration of my faith.
Amen.
And yeah, after that, it just, you know, I was able to enjoy more. I just, like, really have been enjoying learning more. I know that I still need a lot more to learn. And it's where, like, you know, this quarter I realized that as I was joining the freshmen, some of the freshmen praying times, I didn't go to that many, but I remember that I realized that a lot of them would pray for their friends that were not saved. And it was during this time that I got to mention my friend's name. His name's Carlos. And someone that, you know, like, I see a lot of myself in him when I was new. You know, I just really didn't know what it was. You know, every now and then, you know, it was like an interest, but not, like, you know, not really. So yes, like, I realized that a lot of shepherding came from these two brothers and a lot of others. And it's something that this college training has led me to realize, that when I go back, when school starts, I would just like to do the same with my friend and, you know, just try to connect them to other brothers, some serving ones, maybe set up a time. It's a gradual process, but I hope that, you know, I can accomplish this, and it's only through the Lord that I'll be able to.
All right, Gustavo, you have some very good patterns to learn from. So as you can see, so those brothers were just enjoying the Lord by singing and reading the Word. And that, as a positive pattern, spontaneously brought Gustavo into it. Even them gaining Gustavo caused him to also have a burden for his friends, and for him to also desire to enter into what they're doing. So as the UCR brothers are coming up, let's read Roman numeral 2, D 1 and 2 together. After the responsible students serve for a few months, they should bring other students into bearing responsibilities. The students will eventually graduate, but while they are still in school, they should build up something on the campus. Then those whom they raise up will continue, and the Lord's work will not be terminated. Amen.
My name is Edberg. I just graduated this past fall, or past spring.
My name is Zion. My name is Zion. I'm going to be a third year at UCR.
My name is Gersa. I'm going to my third year in UCR too.
I just wanted to share kind of two experiences on different sides of the spectrum. And the first side was as an incoming freshman. About four years ago, even an incoming freshman coming to the college training. And really there was a word spoken, and really right as college students, we need to this matter of taking ownership on our campus. As a freshman, when I started school, there was a lot of learning in regarding the formation of our like coordination meetings and just the very a foundation in the college work at Riverside. With this, there was a lot of perfecting towards me in regards. Joining myself with other families, other older brothers that were on the campus already, and in one sense, just learning and just being willing to enter in, even as a freshman. That was my realization, is that like this entering in took time. The second experience that I would like to share is, right, kind of this was my third year, and this was these brothers, their first year at Riverside. A brother and I, we've been spending time to just pray before the coordination meetings. And we would set this time, and really, it was almost like, oh, it's 6:30, we need to pray. And we would just drop whatever we were doing and just come together and just really exercise, just in one sense, pray for the meeting and pray for the oneness in our coordination times. Really, this was the view that continuing this, as I was a senior, and a lot of the responsibilities, we didn't want to wait till we graduated, then we'll pass everything down. But even during my last year, and even I would say during their freshman year, we started to begin to bring them in. And even as simple as, hey brother, would you like to join us? Can you join us to pray at this time? Or even just, hey, how about you, why don't you lead the meeting this time, or take care of this. And even in these very practical details, just bringing them in, and even by my last year, I would say we'd still be in the meetings, just participating, but really just the students would bear the responsibility as the continuation.
Amen. Yeah, so kind of like Edberg, my first year, I immediately dove into the campus work. Kind of just with yesterday night's message in view, I had a heart to be trained, had a heart to be perfected. And so, you know, going to people like Edberg and even other upperclassmen and serving ones in the community, I gave myself to learn, you know, how to go on in this campus, how to carry on the campus work. And through this, you know, I just learned how to pray, learned how to coordinate with the students, learned how to coordinate for blending trips, you know, spring break trips, how to reserve rooms for future meetings and such. And through this, because of this, because you know, people like Edberg and other classmates had this desire to pass down whatever they learned, now there is a continuation at UCR. And even now, our burden is that we would continue to pass down what we've learned to even the lower classmen. And also, with being perfected, there's also this view that we would even go even further than what our previous class upperclassmen, did. And so I just appreciate, you know, it all just begins with having a desire just to learn, amen, a desire just to be trained.
As these two brothers have spoken, Riverside does not, I just want to say this, Riverside does not have any full-timers. And there are 34 students in Riverside. And all 34 students, hopefully by the Lord's mercy, will get this burden, you know, to be involved in our campus. It actually starts with the twos and threes. And these twos and threes get extended and grab another brother, like we have heard before. This brother and the other brother that he mentioned, they just ask us, hey, do you guys want to pray with us concerning our campus? And from there, we start picking up the burden, you know. We start seeing that, wow, we really need to take this burden off our campus, you know. Because these two brothers are leaving, and then who's going to be next? Who's going to take care of this responsibility? I personally have been perfected in the matters of finances in our campus. Because, as I said, we don't have full-timers. We need to take care of the money the school offers for us in order to fundraise activities and such. And it's quite a hassle to be in that area because you need to fill forms, you need to be in meetings, you need to be in budget hearing meetings. But you know, saints, what it really encouraged me is that I never did it alone. The brother who was responsible for that, he was always there with me, you know. And as such, I was very encouraged to keep going, you know. And now, as going on my third year, I'm very encouraged to pass this to another brother, you know, to that this brother could be perfected in that area too. So it's really it's encouraging, you know, to be part of our campus, you know, to know that when you grow up older, I was like, oh yeah, I had some hand in that work, you know. You can take that experience with you, you know. And as such, you can advise others in what to do. Just first is that you need to be willing and open to be perfected. And if you're willing and open, then the Lord will take you. Yeah.
Amen. Zion Gerson, what year are you going into?
Third year.
Third year?
Yeah.
Amen. So they still have two more years with a bright future. And two more years to perfect more under the care. Okay, let's read the focus together, and this will conclude our time for this session. We must coordinate together in twos or threes to shepherd the young ones by cherishing and nourishing them. We must also perfect them, being a pattern to them, so that they can become useful and bear responsibility in the church life.